Good morning. Welcome to the Bible study. Pastor Steve Siegel is the first Bible study guest ever to kind of do the frug while listening to the opening music.
I like that music, Chuck.
It
just makes you feel good all over.
What are you feeling, free?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. Should I not be? I mean, the 4th of July is coming.
I don't know. We're going to talk about that. Thanks for joining us here today. It is Independence Day. Happy holiday to those of you who are taking the time to spend an hour with us here on our Bible study program. Yesterday we wrapped up the book of Hebrews. We're on to something else on Monday, but we decided, Friday being July 4th, Independence Day, we would take an opportunity here on our Bible study program to deal with some of the issues that pertain to freedom. And how does freedom play out for citizens? How does it play out for Christians? We're going to address some of those things here today, and we'll use Galatians chapter 5 as kind of a springboard for those of you who have your Bibles handy. But let's say good morning and welcome, first of all, to Pastor Steve Siegel. He has been hosting the afternoon show here on our radio station now for several weeks, doing a great job with Diane Summers, and makes his first appearance on the Bible study here on Galatians chapter 5. Welcome.
Thank you, Chuck. I'll put on a different hat. It's the Bible study pastor hat today.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You'll have to be very stoic. You'll have to button up your top button there. Come on.
Should I put my collar on?
No.
Okay, all right. It's a holiday, so I didn't dress up.
If the pastor needs to have a collar on, just use your imagination. And if you're one of those Hawaiian shirt guys, just use your imagination. However you want to dress up Pastor Siegel, you're free to do that.
That sounds dangerous, but
See,
go
freedom.
Ahead. Yes,
it's all about
you're free.
Freedom.
Yeah. Imagine me any way you want. I would prefer 6'5" and very muscular. Go with that.
Okay. All right. We won't tell your wife.
Use your imagination.
Our telephone numbers are not available to you today because this particular program is pre-recorded, and so our phones will not be open. We're going to be discussing freedom here today, which would seem to be an appropriate subject here on this Independence Day. But before we do that, let's begin in prayer. So, Pastor Siegel, if you could ask God to bless our Bible study.
Thank you, Chuck. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, first of all, we come in thanksgiving for all of your many gifts. Today on this Independence Day, the 4th of July, we turn our hearts especially to a gift that we have been given in this country, and that is a freedom to worship. For we can gather in our places of worship this weekend. We can read the Scriptures. We can broadcast a Bible study of the Scriptures. All these things are free for us to do, and they are a gift from your benevolent hand. And for that, we thank you. We thank you for all the other gifts that you have given as well, the gifts of home and family and wife and children and job and employment. And if we have none of those things yet, we have much, for we have faith in you. We have an inheritance in heaven that neither moth nor rust will corrupt or destroy. There are always things to give thanks for, and we do that today. We ask you to bless also our entry into the Word today as we think about and talk about the idea of freedom. What does Jesus mean by freedom? What do you mean by freedom, God our Heavenly Father? Might you open our hearts and minds as we read the Scriptures and as we gather and reason together. And with the blessing of your Spirit, we move forward. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. For those people who have a fair familiarity with the Scriptures, if you say Galatians 5, that might trigger a thought for them. There is a familiar passage in Galatians chapter 5, and it reads, beginning at verse 22, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Most people are familiar with that. What we may not remember is that the beginning of that very chapter, verse 1, says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We have freedom on our mind on this July 4th because it is Independence Day. But that presents something of a challenge for people who are Christians, because while particularly those of us who've lived all our lives here in America, while we've never known slavery, at least not in this generation, while we have never known what it's like to not be able to worship the way we want to worship or speak the words that we want to speak, there are those who have suffered those indignities. We take them for granted.
Absolutely.
And if somebody were to try to say to you as a citizen, you know, Steve, I don't think you should be able to go into the court square or the town square and speak your mind on this issue or that issue, I would imagine that you would take exception to that, would you not?
I would.
And if somebody were to say to you, you know, I don't think you should be able to preach in the pulpit, you as a pastor, some of the things that are contained in the Word of God, which are kind of out of step with American culture, you would take exception to that.
Absolutely.
How is it that you view your own independence as a citizen of the United States? What does that freedom mean to you?
Well, Chuck, I think there's always two things. As Lutherans, we understand this great concept of two kingdoms. So we've got a left-hand and a right-hand kingdom. Now, I assume you're asking me about left-hand kingdom.
I'm asking you about your citizenship.
In the United States of America. Well, as I understand that, we have been given certain freedoms, that is, rights. We usually refer to them as rights. I have the right to go to church on Sunday morning, and the government's not going to say, you can't do that. I have the right to preach from a pulpit on a Sunday morning if I'm invited or when I served in a parish, and the government will not say, no, you can't do that.
Yet.
Boy, you sound cynical today,
Sorry.
Chuck.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I just jumped in. You were preaching such a fine sermon.
And, of course, there are other rights as well that have nothing to do with religion, but the freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, all those things contained in the Bill of Rights that allow us as citizens the right to do something. And that's pretty unusual. There aren't too many countries that have those same rights and privileges that we have been given.
As a matter of fact, there are peoples and countries around the world who don't have those rights and freedoms that come anywhere close to the ones that you and I enjoy. I think of China, for example.
Yes.
It's going to be an interesting trip into China for the Olympics. I think we'll see some interesting things come out of there.
Now you might see some real culture shock, especially from athletes, maybe from the U.S. or parts of Europe that are used to having all these freedoms, and then entering a nation that has a lot less freedom. And although I think they'll make some allowances for that, understanding these are people from different culture, you might see some interesting battles.
So when Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free, does that statement in the letter to the Galatians have anything to do with what we're talking about here, freedom in America?
Independence, kingdom of the left hand, as a citizen of the U.S., sort of, but not really. Paul is speaking.
There's a fine Bible study answer right there. Sort of, but not really.
But not really. Yeah. Do you like that?
Yeah, you're going to have to explain it to
All
me.
All right. Well, the sort of part is in that these two kingdoms are connected. They're both from God.
They are or are not?
They are both from God. God rules in his kingdom of the left hand through the right exercise of government and putting people in authority, and we know that God does rule in the left-hand kingdom as well as the right. And so they are connected. And the freedoms that we have been given as Christians, theologically, freedom from sin, death, and the devil, have an impact on how we lead our lives in the kingdom of the left hand. So that's why I said sort of.
All right.
It's not direct.
In America, in the 230-some years that this country has graced the face of the earth, the subject of freedom has evolved. Can I use that term in the Bible study?
Evolved? Oh, yeah, that's
kind of a dangerous
term. That's dangerous, Chuck.
When the founding fathers and the original writers of the Constitution and our founding documents used the term freedom in the left-hand sense, in terms of government and citizenship, do you think that we have the same kind of perspective on freedom now, 200-plus years later? Do you think it's changed a little or is radically different? How do you evaluate that?
Personally, I think it's changed. I don't know if it's changed radically, Chuck, but I think it's certainly changed. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that was in the Declaration. And these men were, many of them, godly Christian men. Some were deists, but none of them were really atheists. And so they understand that we're endowed by our Creator, as it says Even Jefferson wrote that. We understand we are endowed by the Creator with these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So there was an understanding that it came from somewhere. It didn't just pop out of the ground somewhere, or we didn't make it up for ourselves. We weren't completely autonomous. It was given, and it was given by a Creator.
Okay, so
now that part I think is missing in our culture today. Is fewer and fewer people understand that these rights in the left-hand kingdom come from somewhere. They don't come from us, but they come from a Creator. That's slipping away.
That's probably the biggest difference between 1789 and 1989. So this verse 1, for freedom Christ has set you free, has a sort of but not really application for the left-hand kingdom, the kingdom of government and citizenship. I assume that means it has a much more clear and direct application in the right-hand kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the kingdom of the church. What does verse 1 mean in that context?
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to get by is our understanding of freedom. We look at that word. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And immediately, I think our hearts, our minds turn to a left-hand governmental idea of freedom. And I don't know about you, Chuck. What I see or what I think most Americans believe by that is a certain amount of autonomy. I could do whatever I want.
Yeah, like let's have pornography in our city library.
Sure,
that's
why not?
Freedom.
Yeah, right. Yeah, freedom of speech. I can say what I want, right?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Autonomy, do whatever I want. Now, that's not what Paul's getting at all, and so we have to do a little translating as we move along here so we understand what Paul is really getting at. And you know, in the book of Galatians, he addresses the issue of Judaizers, those who would bring Christians back under the Jewish law. And in particular, in the next few verses, he has this little excursus on circumcision. You know, don't get circumcised if the only reason you're doing it is because you think you have to.
In order to get into heaven.
Right, exactly. Now, if you want to, go right ahead. But don't do it because you want to put yourself under the law. If you want to do that, then you better follow all the laws. But Christ has fulfilled them all, and we live in the New Testament age. And it's different now.
Okay.
So that's maybe the first stop along the way. What Paul is reminding the Galatian Christians and us today as we listen is that Christ has set us free, not from government oppression or not from England or anything like that, but it's from sin, death, and the devil. And it's simply this power of sin, this power of the law that we can't fulfill. That's what we've been set free from.
It seems to me that we may have stumbled upon a contradiction here, which would be quite embarrassing here on the Bible study, since we pretty much teach that the Bible does not contradict itself. But I seem to recall reading some biblical texts about being slaves to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, slaves are not free.
That's right.
Pastor Siegel.
That's right.
Is that a contradiction?
Well, I don't think so. I think it is only if you define freedom the way we do in the left-hand kingdom of government, free, autonomous, do whatever I want. See, that would be a contradiction then to talk about slavery, wouldn't it?
So, as is the case with so many other things, the term hope, for example, hope in the temporal sense, in the worldly sense, means I don't have it yet, but I have a hope that I will.
Yeah, I hope it rains tomorrow.
Hope in the church sense, in the right-hand kingdom sense, sometimes called the blessed hope, is a certainty, not an uncertainty. Two different ways of looking at the same term.
Yes.
Now we are faced with that same challenge here with the use of the term freedom.
Yes.
And
good analogy.
The folks who are going to go to church this weekend. Mm. Many folks who are listening to us now are going to go to church this weekend, and they're going to be some patriotic components. You know, might be singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic or something like that. Those two kingdoms are going to collide this weekend, the left-hand kingdom and the right-hand kingdom. How many folks do you think are going to experience confusion because of this overlap?
Probably a great majority. I imagine that those two kingdoms get mixed a lot, and because we have a word that means two slightly different things, depending on if you're talking about government or you're talking about the church, meaning the word freedom, it's inherent. It's bound to happen. It's bound to be confused.
If I were to oversimplify and say, well, I hear what Pastor Siegel is saying. He is saying in the left-hand kingdom, the kingdom of law and government, you are not free from the law.
You're not.
You are under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you can break the speed limit. You still must do the speed limit.
Well, actually, you can, Chuck. You can break any law you want. It's
but
just
you'll
that
suffer
there'll be
a consequence.
There'll be a consequence.
But in the context of the right-hand kingdom, you must be circumcised. You must go to church on Saturday. You must slaughter bulls, goats, lambs, and sheep. And you must honor the Feast of Tabernacles. All those things, Passover, those are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not under the law in the right-hand kingdom. Is that right?
Well, we're not justified by the law. The law is good, right, and salutary. It is a good thing. And we all learned in confirmation class those three uses of it, the curb, the mirror, and the guide, we sometimes call it. The curb is the one the government uses the most of the time. You know, control things, keep things from getting out of control. And
here are the boundaries.
Keep everybody safe. That's right. And, you know, the mirror is that most theological sense, which reminds us that we have broken the law on many, many occasions. In fact, we live in broken laws, and of course the guide is exactly as it says, as a rule or a guide for living now that I have been justified. So as Christians, the law still has its power over us, and it incriminates us.
Wow.
And to hold on
how
to it.
How is that free?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yes, confusing.
Here,
we like to deal in, we like to clear up confusion on the Bible study.
Well, we'll try to do that. Here's the way I like to think of it. If you rely on the law, let's get real practical. Let's not talk about Judaizers who were 2,000 years ago in circumcision, because that's not very modern. So let's dive into the 21st century here. So if outside of Christ, outside of His fulfilling of the law, outside of His forgiveness that makes me justified and redeemed, I don't have too many choices other than to justify myself. I mean, there is an inherent human desire to be justified. In other words, to be right. That's why we have so many lawyers in the United States. Nothing against lawyers, but we have more in the U.S. than the rest of the world
combined.
We all
know how to self-justify.
That's
right.
Well, because it's a basic human need, Chuck. People need to be able to know that I am in some way, shape, or form right. And that's why we go after those things. And usually for people, it's one of two ways. Either I'll start counting up the things that I've done well. I helped two old ladies across the street, and you know I put money in the envelope on Sunday, and I helped my kids with their homework. I did three good things today. And so I'll hang my hat on that, and I'll feel good about myself. We'll do it that way. Or if we haven't done enough good things today, then we'll start tearing around on other people. And that actually is the more common way. I'll pick up someone who's worse than I am, and I'll point at them and say, well, at least I'm not that bad. You know, at least I'm not a murderer, or at least I'm not a rapist. So I feel good about myself because I'm better than that guy or better than that gal. And that's a pretty bound existence when you think about it. Because you're bound to either tear somebody else down or accumulate good works on your own side in order to feel justified, in order to feel right or right enough that I can go to sleep at night.
It's an exhausting way to live.
It's terribly exhausting. And the answer from Galatians here that Paul's trying to remind the Christians in Galatia is that you've been set free from that. You don't have to do any of that stuff. Because Jesus has done it all already. You are fully justified, redeemed by faith in this Jesus who kept all these laws perfectly for you. And so if you want to go out and keep the law, that's great. That's good, right, and salutary. That's wonderful. But don't do it to feel good about yourself. You don't have to do that. You already are. Here's the example I use with my confirmation kids, and they seem to catch on to it. You a basketball fan, Chuck?
Oh, yeah.
You watch college basketball? You watch the tournament?
High school College, yeah. Don't like that NBA too much.
But. Yeah, I don't either. I love the NCAA tournament, though.
And
you watch those games where the real close ones where it's getting down to the wire and there's like a second left and the team is down by one and there's a foul. And they send this poor guy to the foul stripe to shoot a 1-1. And if he makes the first one, the game's tied. And if he makes the second one, they win the game. And if he makes the shots, he's a hero. And if he misses them, he's a goat, right?
Or makes me nervous just thinking about it.
Yeah. Maybe you've been in that position when you played high school ball, Chuck. I don't know. I've been there a couple times. But now, I mean, there's a lot of pressure there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine you and I and many listeners have seen people succumb to that pressure. It's too much pressure. They can't shoot like they normally would. They're thinking too much. There's too much nervousness, and they miss the shot. That is living under the law. Everything depends on making that shot. And if I don't make it, I'm a goat. And that's what Christ has set you free from. Instead, to carry the analogy a step further, instead of shooting free throws with the game on the line, make it you win, not make it you lose, it's more like the game's already over. We won by 30. We got the trophy. We already cut down the nets. All the photos have been taken. And now I came out of the locker room, and there's a ball sitting there, and I thought, why not? I'll just shoot like 5 free throws. That is living in freedom. I make them. I don't make them. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. Jesus has already done it. That part's over. The pressure's off. Now, let me ask you this, Chuck. Who would be, do you think, more likely to make those free throws? The guy sitting there with the game on the line with a second left? Or the guy who's just going to shoot 5 because...
The second guy.
Yeah, sure. Of course he is.
No pressure.
No pressure. Pressure's off. Game's already won. Game over. Now, that's the Christian life in freedom. Game over. It's all done. It is finished on the cross, resurrected.
But that is some freedom. But, you know... There are a lot of folks to whom you might say, hey, you standing on the line there mm-hmm. with the game on the line,
mm-hmm.
and you're about to enter NCAA basketball history forever as a hero or a goat. We could go this route over here. Game's over. You win. You got the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can shoot those free throws. Bunch of folks say, I'll take my chances. Give me the ball. Give me the pressure. That's what I'm going to do.
I'll do it myself.
And they say things like, are you going to be saved? Well, I hope so. I've lived a good life, been a good person, done the best I could do. Give me the ball.
Well, it's either that, Chuck, or I wonder if it isn't more that people feel that's where they are in life. I am on the line, and I haven't been given anything else, and I have no choice but to shoot these free throws. And I hope I make them. Chuck, I truly believe that many of us, even who go to church on Sunday morning, people you see in church this coming Sunday, don't fully grasp everything that Jesus has done and the fact that the game is over.
It's a sad thing when free people put the chains back on.
And that's why Paul was so upset in Galatians. He said, don't do that. You've already been set free. Knock it off.
You're listening to the Bible study. We're doing a program with Pastor Steve Siegel, host of the afternoon show here on AM 850 KFUO. He is a pastor, and we're looking at Galatians chapter 5. We're talking about freedom, which is on all of our minds here today on this Independence Day. This is a pre-recorded program, no phone calls. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Bible study is underwritten by Concordia Publishing House and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, South Jefferson and Miami and South St. Louis. CPH is the publishing arm of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Its purpose is to strengthen and aid member congregations in their proclamation of the gospel. CPH serves the family by providing Christ-centered materials that nurture Christian growth in the home. CPH and Concordia Christian Books and Gifts. CPH.org.
Due to the flooding on the Mississippi River, Fair St. Louis will be held at Soldiers Memorial in downtown St. Louis and Metro provides commuters with an easy way to travel to the fun with the Civic Center MetroLink Station and Metro Bus Transfer Center located a short walk from Fair St. Louis festivities. Avoid the hassles of the downtown parking and the holiday traffic by using Metro. The MetroLink will operate every 15 minutes on Friday, July 4th until 6 p.m. So ride MetroLink to the fair.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? I went to the airport a few weeks ago to meet one of my favorite radio preachers, Steve Brown. I had arranged for him to come to speak for the annual Clergy Day sponsored by our hospital. I sat at the gate waiting for his flight to arrive from Orlando. Now, I knew what he looked like, but he didn't know me, so it was my job to find him. Once we met and I drove him from the airport to his hotel, our conversation on Interstate 70 made us friends. Then he also knew me, and I knew much more about him. St. John was talking about a parallel yet much more important situation in his New Testament letter. He maintained that we need to know someone who once was a stranger in order for us to have not just friendship, but life itself. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The crosstown rival Gnostics maintained that eternal life was made up of a set of secret teachings handed down from the apostles to those who were enlightened. Those who didn't know the secrets, so the Gnostics taught, were walking in darkness regardless of what they believed. Against this teaching, St. John asserted that eternal life was no secret, that anyone couldn't know. He said that if we believe in Jesus, we may know that eternal life is ours. Now, believing in Jesus may not always be the easiest thing for us to do, but it does prove to us that the God who already knew us has found us and is taking us to our destination. If we're trying to make it more complicated than that, then we could be missing it all. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Help us to live in the freedom of knowing you through your Son, Jesus, and the testimony about him given to us by your Holy Spirit. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who has given us everything that we'll endure as a free gift. Amen.
Back at our Bible study program, pre-recorded program today on this holiday, 4th of July, Independence Day. That was kind of redundant, wasn't it? Holiday, 4th of July, Independence Day.
It was in triplicate.
Well, wait. I forgot to turn on your microphone.
Oh, there we go. It was in triplicate.
Triplicate. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So we're trying to sort out the meaning of the term freedom, the concept of freedom here, as we think about ourselves as citizens and as Christians. As citizens, we think we've got this freedom thing worked out pretty well. We started in Galatians chapter 5 where it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And we said that while there may, I'm going to paraphrase here, there may be a peripheral meaning to that in terms of citizenship, there is a really clear, direct meaning as it pertains to our identity as Christians. So let's go back over to the left-hand kingdom here for a moment as we talk with Pastor Steve Siegel. Freedom in America, I'm going to oversimplify here a little bit, which meant in the late 18th century, the 1700s, no taxation without representation. And for the most part, being able to enjoy the benefit, the work of your own hands. So you come to this country. And if you want to be a blacksmith, you be a blacksmith. You set up a shop. You don't have anybody telling you you can't do this or you must do that. And you put on horseshoes and people pay you and you're free. Now, more than 200 years later, it means things like free to have an abortion. It means things like free to collect welfare checks or public aid, things like that, things that we think that we're entitled to. I'll just use the broad term entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
It means, at least some of us think, that we ought to be free to be able to marry, even if we're members of the same sex,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Things that I think the Founding Fathers would have said, what? You think freedom means what? We fought the Revolutionary War, so you could think, what? And I know the Founding Fathers had a commitment to freedom, and I think they would have been happy to see that America held fast to that tradition and brought African Americans into the full measure of freedom in this country, at least in terms of the law, maybe not in the culture yet, but in the law, things like that. I think they would have celebrated that. But in some ways, freedom has come to mean something else, a term that we use frequently, license. And that license includes doing things that the Bible clearly says we are not free to do. A problem which seems to be increasing exponentially here in recent times. You're nodding your head. What are you thinking?
Well, I think the from what I know, which can be dangerous, but common knowledge regarding revolutionary thought and the so-called Founding Fathers is I don't think they ever would have looked at freedom divorced from the idea of responsibility. Those two things have to go together. You can't just be free and do whatever you want. That's chaos. And they didn't want chaos. That's why there was a Constitution. That's why, you know, they set up the government. They set up with a judicial branch to enact laws. That's why there's police
legislative,
and all that stuff, judicial to interpret them. So they had all of that freedom, but there was also responsibility toward someone else, toward the person who lives next to you, toward the community down the road, toward the state across the river, or toward this fledgling country.
Why, that almost sounds like love your neighbor.
Well, I think it does. I don't think they would have argued with that.
Is there a corresponding, or is there a parallel, to freedom with responsibility back over on the right-hand side of the equation now, in the kingdom of the right? I think you eloquently described freedom with responsibility in terms of citizenship. How about in the kingdom of the right, in the church?
Well, I think there is. And Paul goes on in Galatians chapter 5 starting with about verse 13 is our theological touchstone, our base. You, my brothers, Paul wrote, were called to be free. There we are. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That's what you were talking about, Chuck. Don't use your freedom to just do anything you want, including those things clearly against the Scriptures and the Ten Commandments. Rather, Paul writes, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then a word of admonishment, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So in Paul's mind, and in the mind of the Spirit, of course, who writes these words through Paul, you're not free to do whatever you want. Rather, you become free to serve. That's what you're free to do. If you're free to do anything, it's
to
serve.
An oxymoron. It would seem.
Again, if you take that somewhat corrupted view of the word freedom in 21st century America, yeah, then it's an oxymoron. But biblically speaking, again, what are you free from? You're free from having to justify yourself by works of the law or by comparing yourself to somebody else. Game over. Christ is won. That's what you're free from. Now, what are you free to do with that? Well, you're free to serve. That's what, and I think, Chuck, if we can describe it this way, it becomes wrapped up in identity. I think all of this goes back to identity. Who are you? And if you're an autonomous, evolved human being whose freedom means I can do whatever I want, there's going to be some chaos. There's going to be some problems. However, if my freedom, biblically speaking, is a created human being, not only created but also now redeemed by Jesus, that's my identity, that's who I am, then I'm free from having to do works of the law to make myself look better, which can be really a bound way of existence. Talk about slavery, Chuck. Trying to add up all that stuff so I continue feeling good about myself. Free from all that, now I can just go out there and do it, because that's what Christians do. Now I can't go back to my basketball analogy. Life is just shooting free throws. The clock's off. The game's over. Just go out and shoot free throws. No pressure. Just do it. There's nothing on the line anymore. Serve one another in love.
If you miss a few free throws, you're not going to hell.
You're not going to hell. Yeah, you may say, gosh, that was terrible. I missed that. And you'll apologize to the person, you know, that you sinned against. You'll seek forgiveness from the Lord, and he will say, freely given. You are forgiven. And away we go. Back to the line, shoot some more.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question or not, but this country, the American colonies, were founded in such a way that the colonies had religious identities.
Mm-hmm.
The Quakers were in Pennsylvania, and there were Puritans, there were
Catholics in Maryland.
Just go from colony to colony, and you're going to find, in most cases, a uniquely religious identity as people of like mind settled in those various places. I'm thinking that at that time, that there was probably some devotion to the scriptures, what the scriptures had to say, maybe more than 21st century Americans. Maybe the Bibles were a little less dusty back then. And people had an understanding of what we're talking about here, what the Bible has to say about freedom. Is it your opinion that that biblical understanding of freedom gave birth to what eventually became a spirit of independence for the early American colonies? Was that drive to independence informed by a biblical understanding of freedom?
I think it was informed by it. I'm not sure how much it was driven by it. I mean, personally, I'm not convinced always that our founding fathers were terribly theologically astute. Some of them were. Some of them were clueless, to be honest with you. And I'm not sure, but I think it's safe to say it was informed by that. It's certainly the idea these rights are given by the Creator. Certainly that's an informed opinion.
It seems to me, I would have assumed, always a bad move when I start to assume things. It seems to me that as Paul enumerates the various fruits of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, he doesn't put freedom in there. Even though he sort of began this exercise talking about freedom, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Is freedom not a gift or a fruit of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think it's a step behind it or in front of it, depending on how you look at it. These are the things you are free to do. So freedom isn't a thing in itself. Freedom gives you, Chuck, that you have been set free. Now, because you have been set free, these are the things you're free to do. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm on my way. I'm not sure. You know, you have to give me a
So it
a
doesn't
chance.
Belong in that list. It's these are the things that free people will do. These are the free throws you're shooting.
Here's what I think I'm hearing. Let me test it with you. Because, as you, I'm sure, well aware, our programs are heard all around the world. We just got an email from a guy down in the Philippines a couple weeks ago. He listens to us regularly on the Internet. There are people around the world who at least potentially are listening to us, and they are not free. And they're sitting listening to this maybe in an archive or on a live stream, and they're saying, listen to those guys over there in America. You know, they got so much freedom they don't know what to do with it. And I'm sitting here in China or
mm-hmm.
somewhere where we have much less freedom.
Now, political freedom?
Well,
or kingdom of the right-hand freedom?
The heart of the question.
Yeah.
Because apparently the fruit of the Spirit here is expressible, will be evident, whether you're in a free country or not. That's,
yes.
That's kind of what I'm hearing you
yes.
say.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Against such things, there is no law. I mean, maybe, but I'm not aware of any countries who have a law that says, Chuck, you are not allowed to be patient. It's against the law.
Don't even suggest it. Somebody will do it.
There is a law. You are not allowed to be joy-filled. You can't be happy. You can no longer exhibit self-control. There's no law against those things. And whether it's China or the U.S. or it's Saudi Arabia or Germany, wherever you are, there are no laws against these things. And so it really doesn't matter what the government is. They're not commanding you to do those things anyway. These are the things you are free to do no matter where you are.
I think, speaking for myself, that it is inappropriate to use a worship service, a Christian worship service, and sort of just hand it over to the kingdom of the left on Independence Day weekend, mm-hmm. this coming weekend, so that you got lots of flags and you got lots of talking about the country and all these kind of things, and Christ is nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. For most. I think that's wrong, and I know you do too.
Yes.
So we're eliminating that option. That leaves either a situation where this is a worship service and we don't care what country you're from. We're not talking about America. We're not talking about freedom in America. And we're not singing any patriotic hymns. Absolutely not. Or we're going to pray for our country in the prayers. And we might mention the 4th of July in the sermon. And we might sing Battle Hymn of the Republic or something like that. Where do you fit in that spectrum?
When I was in the parish, generally the 4th of July we handled this way. I use this text on more than one occasion. They probably got tired of hearing it. But then again, it was probably the only time of the year we really dealt with that word freedom. And so I know on at least two or three occasions I use this text from Galatians 5. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we started where people were, which was Independence Day. Yay, yay, freedom. Let's wave our flags. All right, that's where everybody is. Okay, now let's just take it a step or two further. Let's acknowledge freedom, governmental freedom. In other words, I have certain rights that have been given and that are protected in this country that are not protected in other countries. That's worth celebrating, Chuck, and we should celebrate that. And we should thank God for that. It's been given by the Creator. We can do that in a worship service. But let's take it a step further and let's talk about a greater freedom. This freedom Paul talks about, the freedom for which you have been set free from sin, death, and the devil, the fact that you no longer need to keep score, even if you're doing it subconsciously. Instead, you are simply free. Game over. You're won. You've been justified, redeemed. You're on your way to heaven. Now you are free to do these things. See, these fruits of the spirits, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, without keeping score. Don't even try to keep score. In fact, if I catch you keeping score, I'm going to, you know, give you a little whack upside the head. Just do these things to do them. It's who you are. You're a free person. And we can take that extra step now, and hopefully, if people don't fall asleep, you know, during the sermon, you get a couple light bulbs going on, and people understand, wow, why there's more to it than that.
So on that day when you are preaching in your 4th of July service, Independence Day weekend, you had already said that when it comes to understanding freedom in the context of the right-hand kingdom, mm-hmm. freedom in the context of the left-hand kingdom, what were your words? Probably a large majority of people have confusion in that area.
Yes.
And there they all sit before you mm-hmm. as you step into the pulpit mm-hmm. to talk to them on Independence Day weekend, looking into their eyes thinking, yeah, there's 100 people here, and probably 80 of them are just as confused as they can be. How are you going to handle that?
Well, you use the word here from Galatians 5 is so explicit, and you simply let the word do its talking. And you trust the Spirit to enlighten a few hearts today. I can't make anything happen. Hopefully they stay awake long enough and pay attention. And
well,
actually hear the words.
I appreciate the respect for the work of the Holy Spirit. And I know you don't mean to excuse yourself as to
throw
some junk together here, preach, and hope the Holy Spirit...
Yeah, I'll just wing it. Yeah.
I know you're not saying that. But the stakes are high here. If that person leaves that worship service with an elevated understanding of, I'm an American and I'm free, and that means I'm even free to exercise some behaviors that I'm pretty sure God's not mm-hmm. too on board with. And whatever it means to be free in the church, free in the kingdom of the right, which also means to be a slave of God somehow. I don't understand any of that stuff. But the stakes are high, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Those people are in serious jeopardy of putting the chains back on.
Oh, yeah.
Of saying, give me the ball at the free throw line, and I'll try to make that shot with everything. Mm-hmm. Those people, you don't want them to do that.
No. But that's a daily struggle. I mean, that's every day. That's not just the 4th of July. That's the daily struggle. That's the daily, you know, Luther's drowning of the old Adam. That's a daily excursus. Those temptations to, as Paul was warning against, put yourself back under the law, that happens almost every day. Well, no, it does happen every day.
So,
not just Independence Day.
Well, I realize that, but sometimes, for those of us who are a little dim-witted like myself, you know, 4th of July rolls around, and we do have that on our mind. Our mind is a little bit more open to those things just because that's part of the rhythm and the cycle of the annual thing that we call Independence Day. So it gives you an opportunity, cracks the door open that might not be open later on during Advent or Lent, but it may be open this weekend, your chance to, what, barge in? You going to barge in, Pastor?
I don't know that I've ever barged. I'm not a barger. But I do like the opening that it gives. The word freedom is on people's minds, so let's talk about it. And let's talk about what it means theologically.
In your experience as a pastor, thinking about what we've been discussing here, Christian freedom, what it means to be free in Christ. If you stop and think for a second, well now, have I ever known anybody, can I recall somebody who sort of embodied that for me? And I thought to myself, now there's a person who understands what it means to be in free.
Yes.
Do faces appear? Do names
appear?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not asking you to identify anybody, mm-hmm. but is there a type there? Do they tend to be older or younger? Do they tend to be male or female? Do they tend to be anything, or are they just all over the board?
Probably all over the board. Just in my experience, I would say this one common denominator, Chuck, and it's the type of person who has really succumbed to the law. They had they've had a tough life. They've had bad things happen to them, or they've just been crushed by just, you know, the world and
the
devil just really beating on them hard. And it's not like the average, you know, suburbanite who has a pretty good life.
Not enough success to be big-headed.
Yeah, right. Not enough. Yeah, but you know, the poor in spirit person that Jesus talks about on the Sermon on the Mount, that person, when the Spirit works on them and they grasp, I love Luke because he says, blessed are the poor, not poor in spirit. Luke chooses to use the words, blessed are the poor. And I like that because it's poor. I got nothing. I mean, I can't even have an illusion of pulling myself up on my bootstraps.
I'd like to say something here. I bring something in my hands, yeah, but I got nothing to bring.
I got nothing. So why am I blessed? Because I've got no place to look but up. There's no other place for me to look. I can't even begin to pretend that I could pull myself up or make myself look better or feel better by comparing myself to somebody
else. Probably
how
Paul felt in those 3 days of blindness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so that type of a person, I think they experience, if we can use that word, and I think we should in the Lutheran Church, we experience the law, we experience the gospel. I think, personally, people experience law far more then they actually hear it. You know, the world acts on them. The devil acts. Bad stuff happens. That's the law. And
well, as soon as you cross one of those boundaries, you usually get whacked.
Yeah, that's right. And then to experience the love and grace of God and to know that this is forgiven and you can move forward and it is going to be okay because God loves me and he has redeemed me and his son died for me. That's pretty powerful. And you see people live in grace. A face that continues to come to my mind is a pastor I had when I was in confirmation class. He's since gone to be with the Lord and taken his reward that Christ gave him. But there's a guy who I think truly understood what it was to live in grace. Free to serve, but understanding I live in grace. I am shooting free throws when the game is over. And so I do these things out of love for my God with incredible joy and a little twinkle in his eye and a little bit of mischievousness, because he knows not everything depends on every single word that comes out of his mouth. Not every, the world does not depend on everything he does. It depends on God. And I'll rely on him. And I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to make mistakes. Now, I don't go out of my way to make them. But when I make them, I know it's not the end of the world. God will take care of it. That's what he did. That's what I'm free to enjoy. John 10:10, I've come that you have life and have it to the full. That's how you have life to the full.
So as you contemplate some of these people in your memory and your experience about whom you thought to yourself, there's somebody who understands Christian freedom. What is it that you saw that made in them that made you think, oh, you know, because if I see that, I immediately say to myself, that's admirable. You know, that person, mm-hmm. I have esteem for that person because I've seen it. What is it that you saw?
Someone who does not take themselves too seriously. The world does not depend on what they do or say. Not that it's not important. Of course it's important. But they know it doesn't depend on them. So there's a sense that I'm not going to take myself too seriously. There's a joy that you can see. Now, whether they smile all the time or not is inconsequential, but you can almost feel or see a joy in a person's heart. They know that they're forgiven.
You have kids.
Yeah.
Is there a way to deliver this thing to your kids? Is there a way to deliver to your church family?
Well, I think there is, and it's not about rules, Chuck. I think sometimes we zero in on the behaviors, and you know, putting curbs and boundaries around the behaviors, that's important. But that doesn't really teach what we're talking about here. This is a matter of the soul, that the Spirit works through His Word, and He uses people, I'm quite sure, in example. And if I could put just a little bit of responsibility on mom and dad here, mom and dad are the biggest teachers of kids. And if they see in mom and dad a freedom, a godly freedom, I'm free to serve, I'm free to love, the world doesn't depend on my shoulders, God does.
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh, boy.
The parents or the kids?
You mean as far as this goes?
Yeah. What happens to the kids if the parents aren't there to model it?
They will have to learn from someone, something else. They will learn from the Word, or they'll learn from another person, a mentor, a pastor, an uncle, an aunt, a teacher. Teachers are incredibly important.
Thanks for the conversation. You going to barbecue or something?
I love to barbecue, and I'm a fireworks nut. I'm one of those pyrotechnics.
Oh, my goodness. Too much information. Maybe something that we didn't necessarily.
It's nothing illegal, Chuck. It's,
okay.
Right. I'm not that free. I wouldn't thumb my nose at
I'm
that.
I'm getting all these public service announcements from people wanting to say, don't use fireworks.
Only the safe ones, Chuck.
I understand. Have fun. Don't get hurt.
Happy Independence
Thank
Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Pastor Steve Siegel here on our Bible study program on Independence Day.
Program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a cassette copy of the Bible study, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. The Bible study is a broadcast service of the Jubilee Network.